Everything that exists is a product of matter and spirit. Spirit is the basic field of creation, and matter is created by spirit. Spirit is not created at a certain stage of material development. Rather, this material world is manifested only on the basis of spiritual energy. This material body is developed because spirit is present within matter. A child grows gradually to boyhood and then to manhood because that superior energy, spirit soul, is present. Similarly, the entire cosmic manifestation of the gigantic universe is developed because of the presence of the super soul Vishnu. Therefore, spirit and matter which combine to manifest this very gigantic universal form are originally two energies of the Lord. And consequently, the Lord is the original cause of everything. A fragmental part and parcel of the Lord, namely a living entity, may be the cause of a big skyscraper, or a big factory, or even a big city. But he cannot be the cause of a big universe. The cause of the big universe is the big soul, or the super soul. And Krishna the Supreme is the cause of both the big and small souls. Therefore, he is the original cause of all causes. This is confirmed in the Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. Nitya Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport to the to Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, text 6, in the matter knowledge of the Supreme. In this verse, it first described about the 8 energies. Bhume apono vayur kan manoru eva cha hankara itiya me vina patiti astada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these 8 constitute my separated material energies. Apareya mitaspanya prakritim vidime param jiva bhutam mahabaho nigetam dhanyate jagat. Besides these, Almighty Armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mine which comprises of living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. So there's the material and the spiritual nature. And the Lord is establishing that He is the Lord of both. He's the cause, the creation, the solution of everything. In this material world, there's growth, there's change, there's all the movement that we see here is all because of the presence of the combination of matter and spirit. The embryo grows in the root in the womb of the mother because the spirit soul is present. If there was no spirit soul, there would be no growth. Therefore, the Vedas say that the presence of the life is from the moment of conception, when the spiritual energy and matter are combined. That creates the growth. That's why in principle we're not for abortion, except in extreme cases where the mother's life is in danger. Because it's like killing a soul, killing a living being. Now in the West they're debating that up to what point you can have the abortion, the life doesn't start, so this week and that week. So then they're like in an Indian market, it was in the paper, and then they said, I want to do this for 20 weeks, and he says, 24, okay, let's make the deal, 22. It's not some very scientific. But scientific understanding is that because there's growth, that means that there's life. Life is already there. So we are trying to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he's origin of everything. He wants to educate the people who he is so that they can be well around it. They can be well informed. They can make the right decisions for the right reasons. They can serve the Lord. It's not just a sentimental thing or just a matter of belief, but it's all really logical, scientific, and at the same time, because it's given by the Vedas, which is beyond logic and reason, it's also very authoritative. This seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita is a glorifying by Lord Shiva in the Padma Purana. As Parvati wanted to know that who is, what are the glories of each of the chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, when she got up to the seventh chapter, and Lord Shiva explained, well, there's a history of all this. So once there was a very wealthy man, he had four sons, he had a wife, obviously. But he was a miser. He was not spending money on the family. He was not utilizing his wealth for anything but investing into his business. It was into business, that was it. So, what he did with his money is he buried it in a hole in some hidden garden. He was traveling a distant place on his business trip and he passed away. He died. His subtle body and the spirit were taken to Yamaraj. And Yamaraj said, well, you worked so hard to get money, but you're just bearing it. You're really attached to your money. So, since you're so attached to your money, I don't want to separate you from your money. You can stay with your money. So your next birth will be as a poisonous snake, living in a hole next to your money. Enjoy. So this way he could enjoy his money. He could be right there with all the money. In a snake's body. What do you think? This is a good result? How many of you would like to be a snake? You can have all that money. That's how the law of karma works. So there he was, for some time his sons didn't know where his father hid the money. So they were very frustrated here. They were in a rich family, but all the wealth is hidden from them. What do you think of that? So then the father actually wasn't too happy being a snake. He started to think about it and he realized that he blew his life. He made a big mistake. And as a result, he's living in some snake hole, watching over his money. If he had used it to build a nice temple in Cape Town, or distribute a lot of prasadam, or something spiritual, then he wouldn't be in that predicament. So he came in the dream of his children and told each one of them then because of my materialistic and sinful activities, I'm a snake in a hole where I buried my money, protecting the money. So if you will help me to get out from this hellish predicament of living in a snake hole, then I will evenly divide the money amongst all the brothers. So, I know you're thinking you may have done some kind of pujas and sradhas and things, but because I was so sinful, it wasn't enough. So then, the brothers met and they were asking him, I had this dream, I had a dream too, me too. Well, so then all four had it, they knew it must be true. So the eldest brother, you know, he was a little disturbed by it, and then was indecisive, what should we do? You know, this sort of father, you know, hard to believe, he's such a rich guy, he became a snake. And, you know, like this. But the second brother, he was very emotional. So nothing practical, just a lot of emotion, anxiety. The third brother, he was like more together. He said, we must do something for our father. Whatever he was our father, and we should do something and save him from this predicament. He was more reasonable, intelligent son. The fourth son, he was very greedy. He thought, I think I know where my father buried the money. If I get one day in my hand, I can get them. I get it all for myself. What should I share with my brothers? They said, okay, this is a good idea, what our third brother said. Let's all think about it for one day, and tomorrow at the same time meet here, and we can discuss what we can do for our father. But his actual purpose was to steal the money and run off and desert his brothers. Just say, is that a nice guy? That night he woke up his wife at midnight, said, come, I think I know where the treasure is. They took a shovel and a hole, they went out into the forest, into the garden, where he had seen his father doing something there. So he dug into the earth, chop! All of a sudden, the snake came out. You want to steal the money, I'm going to kill you. No, no, father. We just want to help you. No, no, you're just like me. I know you, you're a miser. If you want to help me, then I can come here at midnight if you bring your other brothers. So I'm going to finish you. No, no, really, father, I just want to help you. Tell me how we did so many shots and then how is it that didn't work for you? Very sinful. If you want to save me, the only thing that will save me, you have to have on my Shraddh day of Vaishnava, read the 7th chapter Bhagavad Gita and offer the results to me. Then I'll be saved. So being afraid he's going to be bit by his father and he's okay, I'll tell him, I'll tell the brothers, man. The next day they had a meeting, he told them. Then, on the Shraddh, you know, Shraddh means the anniversary of the death. So on that day, they had a Vaishnava, and he was chanting these verses from the Bhagavad Gita chapter 7. And at the end he said, offering all this chanting to the departed soul of the father, The father was liberated from the snake curse. He came out visible in his divine form, or pretty divine, was liberated by this seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He brought the treasure with him. But first he gave a lecture to his sons. Because I didn't use my money for Krishna, I didn't use my money for spiritual purposes, I just buried it, I was a miser, I was a materialist, this is what happened to me. I became a snake in the hole. But you should use this money. Don't just try to enjoy it. Use it also for spiritual things. Build temples, give out charity, prasadam, distribution. Use it in devotional service. And this way, you can go back to God and read the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. He gave out the wealth to his children. And the Vishnu-rudras came and took him back to Godhead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This month, this month of Vaishakh, whatever you do in this month, you get 100 times the benefit. You read the slokas every day, chant the japa, chant the temple, give in charity, especially to spiritual purposes. All these things, you get 100 times the benefit. If you take a holy bath, you have any holy rivers here? You have the ocean. Harikas Thakur was bathed in the ocean, so that's pure. A little bit cold now. But if you chant Ganga 3 times loudly, you get the benefit of a Ganges bath. Within 100,000 yojanas of the Ganges, I think we're within 100,000 yojanas. Ganga!
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 Feel me? It's like Damodar month, this is also our holy month. And we're doing the Damodar month in a very big way. Maybe in the future we'll do Vaishakh month too. But because the Vedas say that by offering a lamp in the month of Damodar to Lord Krishna Damodar in his childhood form, by chanting like what's called the Damodar Ashtakam, by doing also bathing water, by chanting all this, those things, chanting Hare Krishna, serving the Vaishnavas, you get special mercy. Your forefathers are delivered, you become Krishna conscious, all this voice is over in the different Puranas. They give the different quotations. So in Kuala Lumpur, I advised them some years ago to try to develop this Damodar month. So the 1 year they had 30 Namahatas. They did one Damodar program for each Namahata, 30. And the next year they thought, let's double it. We did 60. But then we thought, why would each Namahata can do many Damodar programs to the different members of the congregation? So then they did like 300. And it went up to 650. But 2 years ago they did 1,500. Last year 3,870 something. So next year I don't know what they're going to do. We're trying to do that. This is because by this they're making, they're expanding their congregation. So many people are really happy. You know, you have somebody who they're not completely against Vedic culture, would say, would you like to have a blessing? Then most people would say, yes, I'd like to have my house blessed. When I was flying down to Cape Town in one Punjabi lady working for the British Airlines. Last year I checked in with her when I flew somewhere, I don't remember where last year, but I gave her one of those sweets from the Bhaktivedanta Manor. I brought some here, but they're all finished already. They're all these. So and she said that when she gave to, I told you, the family members, she gave to her mother the whole night she was hearing bhajans and her names. So she was so thankful. So I gave her another, but I only have a few. I gave her one of my special stash. And she had reciprocated, upgraded my secretary to work out into a business class. That's why he's still walking around after all of that time. So this little mercy goes a long way. Sometimes you get some reciprocation, but we just do it selflessly. So this month is the Vaishak, and then the Damodar month. So we're trying that every temple should try to expand the Damodar month program out to the congregation. Once you do one area, sometimes the neighbors say, "What's happening? What's happening in your house?" "Oh, our house is getting blessed. Would you like your house to be blessed?" Why not? Sure. And it's just a 15-minute program going in with a kirtan, with explanation of Damodar. They printed out Damodar pictures that fold into a little box and you put on your altar. Just Jasoda Damodar, and it has a calendar in the back, so you can use it for the next year or a calendar also. So I think people, once they put something on their puja, they tend to stick there for a while. So there's many that have the Damodar, the soda pictures on their altar. So this is one of the, this is an easy way to get new contacts, to cultivate their existing congregation. How many here would like to have a little kirtan and blessing for your house with the soda Damodar next to the month of Kartik? Anyone here? Cuts across all the divisions. So this is one of the campaigns of our congregational development is to popularize this Damodar month. One year I went out to 50 houses on Diwali, which is also Damodar month. It's to go to 50 houses, I tell you, it was mainly because the houses are all next to each other. It's this way one area. It's not about being driving in there. And then Diwali, everybody gets little candies and sweets. And so it's a regular luxury, I guess. We went and we also took some from each house and gave out to the next house. And it was interesting. So doing some of the outreach program like that is very interesting. Similarly, if there's just like reading the seventh chapter of Bible, getting them liberate a forefather, take them back to Godhead. So this is the one in Vedic culture we have a monopoly on liberating souls, forefathers who have already left their bodies. The Buddhists they don't believe in sacrifices. Others don't believe in reincarnation, so they don't technically have a ceremony to do that, as far as I know. But we do, and therefore we can do ceremonies for your people out there, grandmother and grandfather, and so many people left. We can develop that as a method of outreach and preaching. People down as well. It's the devotees, their help not only the living people but even our forefathers. And it's not like magic or anything, it's the white magic, it's white, it's completely bona fide. It's given in the Vedas. They do kirtan. There's one, there's a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, one of his associates, his name is Govinda Ghosh.
Tirele Govinda Ghosh,
as Vasu Ghosh, Govinda Ghosh, and Madhav Ghosh, three brothers, all great devotees of Lord Chaitanya. So one time Lord Chaitanya, when he was a sannyasi, he was traveling with Govinda Ghosh, who was a brahmachari. How many here are brahmacharis? Very nice. He's a brahmacharini. So they are traveling, and then one day Lord Chaitanya said, I ate too much prasadam, I'm having a little indigestion. I need an Ayurvedic herb called harikati. It's part of the tree fall. I've heard of the tree fall and maybe one of the Ayurvedic popular medicines. So one of the fields, Amlaki, Hortaki, Haritaki, and Baira in Bengali, I don't know what's that sounds really. So he went to the village and got some haritaki, brought back. There's a saying in Sanskrit that if you eat haritaki, it's always good for your stomach. But even your mother's affection may sometimes kill you. Sometimes mothers say, don't chant Hare Krishna, don't be too religious, or something, or they didn't have their say something that's not positive. So. But haritaki is always good for your stomach. So that, but I'm sure all the mothers here are always doing good for their children. I hope. The next day they were in a little island called, what's it called? Agrabi. And again, Lord Chaitanya, I feel a little bit indigestion again. Give me some haritaki. This time the servant came back in a few seconds, gave him a haritaki. What happened yesterday? It took like 20 minutes to go in the village and get the haritaki. And now in a few seconds you gave me. So, well, since off and on you're getting a little stomach complaint, haritaki is a small thing, so I took a few extra in case you needed it. So, oh, this is the Grihastha mentality. Saving for the rainy day. So you're not fit to be a brahmachari, you have to become a grihastha. don't hoard things. I don't know, we can go to turn at a really higher standard than we can actually. I'm carrying all my luggage around here. But as we experienced it currently. He was shocked and he said, but you know, no, the Lord Chaitanya, he said, no, you get married and live here, worship the Radha Gopinath Devi. So he got married and had a child, was worshipping his Radha Gopinath Devi. Then the wife died of some snake bite or something, the son died of some other, I don't know exactly what the right thing. Somehow they got sick and died. He got very depressed. You know, why don't you tell me how to get married? I had a wife, I had a family, and everyone left the body. So why did they do all that? What was the purpose? And who was going to perform Shraddh for me? So one of the reasons you get married and have a good Krishna conscious child, that when you pass away, the child will perform the Shraddh ceremonies as like reading Gita for you or something that this will help your soul to get back to Krishna if you're stuck up somewhere. So then he was like really mental about why? And then sometimes they tell, we don't understand Krishna's plan. So the deity at Gopinath said, why are you not serving me? I'm getting the offerings on time, I'm getting to put the soul and this and that. And so he said, well, you have me, Lord Chaitanya had me get married, I had a wife, I had a child, now they're gone. But I'm your son, you know, who served me. Am I your son? Well, yes, you're a son, but you're not going to perform Shraddh for me when I die. So if I perform Shraddh for me, you give me the offerings on time? I get my boga regularly? Okay. So they call the village leaders. They call all the village leaders. The deity spoke that I have accepted Govinda Ghosh as my father, and after he passes away every year on his death anniversary day, I should be taken to his tomb to perform Shraddh. There's no written down in the millions history book. Have you ever heard of deity speaking? Deities are they're avatars, they're living avatars. But we have to be fortunate enough to be able to hear them when they speak. So then, every year, I happen to go there on the anniversary day, it's a Kadasi after Gorpurnima. And hundreds of thousands of people gather to see this. And they told me that when the deity is doing this ceremony, sometimes he like, looks human. It's like he changes from a stone deity to something different. Very soft. And so I wanted to see all this and see how what they do for the ceremony. I was standing outside, but it was like, by that time in the morning, there's 10,000, 20,000 people in this little building. And everybody's pulling the people in front to get a look, and it's like a roller derby or something. And it's really heavy. Rugby or something, trying to get. And South Africa is one of the champion rugby teams. Then somehow the priest pulled me in. And had me stand in the corner of the Samadhi Mandir. So I could see the whole ceremony. They do the pindi, they touch the deity's hand and drop little rice piles, and they do the whole ceremony just like the deity is the sun. I don't know if he changed color or whatever, but it's something, definitely the whole, it was a different universe, and that was something very special. It was very moving. I was like, you know, it's hard to keep the tears back. It was such an amazing thing to see how the deity is doing this for his devotee. Meanwhile, the public outside, they didn't have any crowd management system. I gave some suggestions later, but these people are just like some lady. There were one section was the ladies, one lady's like holding on the window, looking inside, trying to get as much as someone grabbed her ear and pulled her back. So sometimes I glanced up, so well, this is, they didn't really have a good system for other people as they file by and have a nice darshan. Apart from all that, what was going on inside was really amazing. And somehow our Savari devotees were there and they got a darshan also. And after performing all the ceremonies, then they took the deity and the palanquin and took him back to the temple. So that's going on since time of Lord Chaitanya. Even that was just a few years ago, it's still going on. Big festival. And Adwa Dweep, Govinda Ghosh, when he died, and they put his body there in the tomb, and every year the deity comes and performs. So, deity can also be your son. Some devotees have take care of their Bala Gopals or their little deities in the house, and they treat them just as their children, giving them garlands, giving them offerings. This way, we can also develop a very close, intimate relationship with the Lord. So like this, last year, every year after Gopurnima, I go on a safari, which is probably thought only Africa has safaris. I found that the word safari is actually Hindi word, safari. Go on a journey. Probably the Indian mahouts, or the guides that came with the British over here when they started going out. I heard that Indian elephants can be tamed easier than the African elephants. So when they go by the elephant into the jungle, it's usually an Indian elephant. That's what I was told, but you might know better than me. So anyway, we go on an adventure tour, which is a pilgrimage tour. This year we went to Bangladesh. And last year we went to South India. We went to many different temples. There's 108 Divya Deshas going to really special temples glorified by the South Indian Alwar Saints. So we went to about 36 of the 108. Which, because we had only 21 days, so we got a couple every day. And there was one temple which is called the Nitya Kalyana Mandira. Anybody here knows Tamil? So Kalyana means marriage. In Tamil, Aditya means daily. Every day they marry the Devi. So the Devi's festival, Utsavamurti, was dressed up as a bridegroom and Lakshmi as a bride. And every day on Friday, their daily worship is in the morning, after the morning offerings, they take him and marry him to Lakshmi. So we wanted to know, and they said that this temple is especially the Devi gives blessing for people that are having a hard time getting married. So we told the Ramachari, don't stay in this temple too long. If you want to be famous, the Ramachari, we ran in and out of the temple. For some people, maybe other prayers. So we found that there was the history behind this, why this temple has a daily marriage. But there was a rishi who had a daughter who lived nearby there. And the rishi passed away. So then the daughter thought that she'll follow her father and go back to Godhead with him. So she did some, was doing some tapasya, and Narad Muni came and said, "That's for a married lady. Follow the husband, not for a daughter, follow the father. If you want to go back to Godhead using this young age, you have to get married." So then Mani Guru spoke, so she went around and she asked any single rishis if they wanted a wife. I never heard of a canvassing before, but it seems for the higher purpose it's okay. Finally one rishi said, "All right, just you're a very pious girl and for spiritual reasons, so on." They got married, then she conceived, and she gave birth to 360 daughters. This must be the Guinness World Book of Records. Had a disciple, have a disciple who has triplets, and that's like a big job, 360. You can imagine what the father told her. How am I going to get 360 daughters married? I'm going to take care. And when she, well now she's a wife, she's a mother, but she wanted to get back to Godhead pretty quick. So she did her gagya and went back after they grew up a little bit. So then he was left with 360 little girls. So then when they grew up and they were marriageable age, somehow he took care of them. He was a very responsible father. They were all very beautiful young girls. And one very handsome rich man came, said, "I'll marry all of them. I don't have any financial problem. I'll marry all of them, maintain them." So the rishi, the daughter said, "Yes, we want to marry. We want to be married." She had the ceremony every day at 360. Every day they had the marriage. One daughter and this handsome rich man. At the 300, last daughter, when they're ready to get married, then the man actually turned into Vishnu. He was really Vishnu, came in disguise. And all the daughters turned into Lakshmi. They were actually Lakshmi that he grew up with. And they all merged into the one Lakshmi, the last girl. And then the Lakshmi and Narayana got married. So all that time he was bringing out Lakshmi as his daughters. So that's why this temple may have every day the daily marriage ceremony. So we said, just see the deity one thing, but actually hear the pastime about the deity or something, you know, that these temples are thousands and thousands of years old and they all have some very rich message and culture. So they're the Archa avatars, the incarnation of the Lord. So that's I remember there was like each of the temples we had wanted to hear from the priest what was the history of this temple. There's one temple we went to in Kanchipuram, and this temple says the largest deity of Krishna. He's 35 feet tall.
And I remember when in the temple there was just no electricity, there's some lights, some candles. I went in and then I saw this little silver deity of Krishna. I thought, well, this is not 35 feet, this is maybe 2 feet. You know, this. And then the priest said, look up. It was sitting in the lap of the actual big deity of Krishna. I look up. And he's 35 feet tall, he's like maybe 20 feet wide, sitting in cross-legged, this gigantic deity of Krishna. Everybody came in, we had about 60 Jews with us, and everyone was amazed. I never saw such a huge Krishna. And he had a bamboo pole like 20 feet long and held it up with the legs so you could actually see in the dark. So what's the history behind this deity? They said this, Vajanavijaya, the son of Brikshit Maharaj, he was hearing the glories of his grandparents, the Pandavas and the Kurus and everything. Then they told the history about how Krishna went to try to negotiate a peaceful settlement with Duryodhana. And now he offered to give 5 villages to keep the rest of the world. But the Duryodhana said that this Krishna is always protecting the Pandavas. If I can kill Krishna, then they'll be finished. Nice mentality. But he was, you know, a messenger. So technically he was protected by diplomatic convenience, laws, but they didn't care. Well, they had made a trap seat where they had soldiers came out from under the seat, came to attack Krishna, and Krishna took a gigantic form, and then he showed a universal form. So this was that gigantic form. Because the Janmaja wanted to see what Krishna looked like when he was this gigantic form. So somehow then that form remained there as a deity. Very interesting deities. How many saw this gigantic Krishna, Kanchipuram? Saw the Nitya, the eternal, the daily marriage deity? Anybody need his blessings? Now you know who to pray to. So, he's in a marriage mood. So like we saw 35 temples and each one having an amazing history of past times. Like that. So we should, so I go like on tours. I have as we discussed, to show my tour for last year. But just we won't go into all the, just scan over the Safari. Safari can be a whole show in itself. But then, where is that set up? Which is the wall we're going to show on? Over Unamo Bhagavate or over this one? Got an extension cord? So Krishna is the source of all material and spiritual. Because in this world, the two unite, they probably won't smash the tables. This has no consciousness, it's just material. But when you combine the material and spiritual, then you get the living.